Today on Real Radio.
And as I was looking at this today, I prayed, oh God, and I hope I'm not praying this alone, but Lord, I pray that you would make me in this lifetime of mine a mighty man of valor concerning the world that I live in anyway. And I pray at the same time, oh God, raise up men and women to be mighty men and women of valor, to stand on the word of God and live it without fear.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in these presentations called Let a Man Arise.
Pastor Jeff was telling me today about a family. We don't know anything about them. We got the call. As far as we know, they're not Christians. But the father, young age, dropped dead. 7 children left behind. You say, where's God in this? Listen, I know this. God loves that family. As far as we know, they're not Christians, but maybe they are. We don't know. We're going to be finding that out. God loves them anyway. Even if they don't want anything to do with God, he still loves them. The Bible teaches that our God loves. When someone shakes their fist at God, he's patient, he's kind. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been sharing with somebody? Or have you ever been alongside a hospital bed or in an accident scene and someone shakes their hand at God and says, I hate you! What do you do as a Christian when somebody does that? Do you start slapping them? Hey, what's the matter with you? Don't you talk like that. No, our God is real. And our God is not offended by that. He's not hurt by that. He knows the very heart of a person. He's not fragile. And as a Christian minister, as Christians, when we're trying to comfort somebody and they're crying out to God and they're angry at God and they're, where are you? Our God is not impatient, and he's not threatened by that. He's beyond comprehension. Job 9, verse 10 says, he does great things past finding out. Don't you love that? You know, we see things, and we just, man. There's, from time to time, there's things that grab our attention. It's like, God, you're awesome. You're great. Today, I had the... You're studying the Bible. I had to study the Bible today. Isn't that just terrible? And I don't know where you were today, but I was home today studying the Bible. I was in my backyard, and the wind was blowing. The wind was blowing, and the birds are singing, and the sky was blue with patchy clouds. It was like, and I just said out loud, I hope my neighbor wasn't home. I just said, Lord, you're awesome! There's just those moments when something grabs you and says, God, you're good. You know what I'm talking about? Could be when you're driving. It could be anything, anytime. Maybe you see your little kids and they're playing out in the park and it's, God, you're good. Or whatever it might be. You're so good. He does things past finding out. Gideon's desire is to discern the will of the Lord. Listen to what happens. He says, if I have found favor in your sight, please wait. Please stay here. And he prepares this incredible meal. I love that. He wants to know God's will. He wants to discern. He wants to know. Verse 19, so Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. You guys, there's no way. This is huge food. He's blessing the Lord big. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. You know what ancient scholars I read this week said? That this event right here, this cooking of all this, ladies, you'll appreciate this. Guys, we don't really care. But there's 2 hours preparation time they've been able to estimate to prepare a young goat and do all this cooking and all this preparing. So no wonder why he said, just show me a sign. Wait. And the angel of the Lord waits. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat. Watch this, people. Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff which was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose up out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That is cool. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I would like to see that. I don't need to see it, but I would like to see it. Microwave rock. That is awesome. And for Gideon, that was enough. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived. Can you circle that word? I love it. Gideon perceived. You know what that word means? He did the math. That's what it means. He put everything together and concluded. After all that I've heard, after all that I've seen, after all that's gone on, I now have been convinced. I've concluded. And what have I concluded? That he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, this is great. O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Why did he say that? Because everybody previous to this point, the Bible made it clear. God had spoken to Moses also. God had revealed the fact that you can't look upon my face and live. God's holy. He's a consuming fire. So if you have any doubt about who was it Gideon was speaking to, we studied it last time together. This is what's called, again, remember, a theophanies. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. It's throughout the Old Testament. And when Gideon saw the Lord and was convinced, I've concluded now, I've seen God in a human manifestation form. Stick, barbecue, flames, I'm going to die. I don't blame him for saying that. We probably would have felt and said the same thing. And the Lord says to him, it's okay, you're not going to die. Peace be with you. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Shalom, peace. The Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Number 6, let a man arise, verses 25 to 32, in the things that are practical. Now it came to pass, watch the tenor change in Gideon's life. Now it came to pass, the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull and a second bull of 7 years old and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the wooden image that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this rock in the proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer a burnt offering sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household, the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Before we move on, this is a weird setting. You guys, there's the altar of Baal. It's ancient, goes back to the days of Nimrod and Semiramis in Babylon. But the Ashtaroth is next to the altar. The Ashtaroths and these pagan worship sites, not only can I not tell you what goes on there, I don't even want you to look up what goes on there. It's nasty, nasty, over the top, nasty. To the point of nasty, to the point of nasty death. I mean, it's so nasty, it winds up in death. Human sacrifice, nasty. The altar of Baal. And next to it, this pillar of Ashtaroth. ancient Babylonian worship. Listen, it goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And if you were here with us when we went through the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, we covered that in depth. It's ancient. And yet this ancient system sticks its head up from time to time throughout human culture to this very hour. Didn't Solomon say there's nothing new under the sun? And that is so true. And so God commissions Gideon to become a mighty man of valor. And as I was looking at this today, I prayed, oh God, and I hope I'm not praying this alone, but Lord, I pray that you would make me in this lifetime of mine a mighty man of valor concerning the world that I live in anyway. And I pray at the same time, oh God, raise up men and women to be mighty men and women of valor, to stand on the word of God and live it without fear, without being cowardice or without being intimidated or without being shut down. Do we believe in him enough? Gideon stands up 7 years of oppression by a pagan worshiping Midianite power. Gideon alone stands up. What causes a man to stand alone against all the odds, against the fear of death, the touch of God on your life? There's no other thing. And it's one thing to die in battle. It's another thing to hear from God against all odds, in the midst of it all, outnumbered completely. Even his own father's house was against him. And he stands for the truth. Is there anyone anymore in the world, in America, that will stand for the truth anymore? Or is everyone afraid? Is everyone scared? Like Satan says, skin for skin. A man will do anything to save his own skin. We need the pouring out of the Holy Spirit across America and around this world like never before. We need men and women to arise in revival and in the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. We need Spurgeons again, and we need Pauls again, and we need great, great leaders again. And it's my prayer. You and I have never been here before. This is our day together. And tomorrow will never have been lived before, and it will be gone this time tomorrow night. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the future holds. I was talking to some Israeli friends the other day, and I said, you know, they're talking about how, oh, America's so wonderful, America's so... I said, listen, it's wonderful. Yes, it's not as wonderful as it used to be. I'm old enough to know how good it once was. Starting to sound like George Washington. But I said, listen, let's just make sure we understand something here. You live in the country that has all the promises. America has no promises. You can't even find America in the Bible. Israel's got all the promises. You want to be safe? Move to Israel. God says, once they're back in the land, I will never again let them leave. I got out of my car on Sunday after church, went home, got out of the car, and my neighbor out watering her lawn, and she's a real sweetie, and she said, how are you? I said, I'm fine. She goes, I'm miserable. And she's a doll. She never complains about it. She's so sweet. I go, what's the matter? And she's really politically connected. And she's talking and this and that and this and this and this. And I know. And then I started getting miserable. I know. And I said, well, you know what? I said, it's funny because just the other day, Lisa and I were joking around, maybe not, about all the things that you're talking about with me right now and how our fathers moved here from Europe for freedom to come here. And Lisa and I were speaking about where will we go in the future? If the Lord doesn't come back in 20 more years, what country will we flee to for religious freedom? And she had her garden hose and she went, oh my goodness, I've never thought of that. Because we think this is almost like heaven on earth. Until the earth starts to quake. Until it starts burning up. Summer's coming. It's going to shake and it's going to bake. It's California. But have you ever thought about that? How many of you have children? Raise your hand. How about you have children living in your home? Raise your hand. Wow. You ever think about the safety and the freedom of your children? Well, Gideon takes a stand. God bless him. Verse 28, and when the men of the city, here you go, when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down and the wooden image that was beside it. It was cut down. You guys, study it later. That's funny. You say, I don't see how funny it is. Oh, it's funny. Just go look and see how funny it is. It's funny. And the second bull, torn down, and the wooden image was beside it cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. And so they said to one another, they look at each other, these crazies, and they said, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. But Joash, verse 31, said to all who stood against him. Look, pause right there. Dad has had this pagan worship system in his house who knows how long. His son takes a stand and the father wakes up. The father starts realizing, what in the world have I been doing? Worshiping this stupid, pagan, make-believe God. And the father, Joash, begins to take a stand. This is awesome. He starts to rethink his view. Hey, mom, dad, listen, maybe your kids are walking with Jesus, and maybe they talk you into coming to church. You know what happens here. Do you know that? Thank God we have junior high and high schoolers who are telling their parents, you ought to come to church. Man, you know what? We're on the brink of revival when kids start to tell their parents, you need to go to church. You know, there are kids, we don't like this because it's kind of scary, but there are kids who the parents pull up and drop their kids off for church and the parents drive away. I don't know, they go shopping, catch up on some sleep. I don't know what they're doing. But the parents need to come. What kind of an example is that? Hey, kid, you go to church and praise the Lord. I'm going to go over here and get drunk. What are they doing? Go and bless God. I'm going to go, you know, gamble. What are they doing? Hey, I thank God somebody in the family is coming. Gideon was walking with God. It affected his dad. Look what he says. Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who will plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. This is awesome. He's mocking. He tells these guys who are going nuts, we're going to kill your son. Bring him out here. And basically, Joash says, why don't you put a sock in your mouth? You guys, zip the lip. You're all a bunch of pagan worshiping lunatics. If your god is real, then why doesn't he defend himself? My boy can go up there and tear down the altar and knock down the Ashtoreth? What's with you? What are you worshiping? Look at you. You're acting like a bunch of idiots, screaming, going crazy. You want to kill my kid? I'm going to tell you something. None of you guys should be alive by morning. Did you know God had already spoken to Moses, though it wasn't brought up here? The fact of the matter was God had declared if there's a pagan worshiping system that it needs to be destroyed. Needs to be taken care of. Needs to be dealt with. Why? Because it'll destroy a nation. It'll destroy a people. Well, hey, without quoting it, without leaning upon it, Joash says, you know what? If your God is God, then why doesn't he defend himself? Therefore, verse 32, on that day he called him, that is Gideon, Jerubbaal. Baal is this ancient Babylonian god. And Jerob is the word that means this, to mock him in a sense, to plead or fight against him. They began to view Gideon as Baal's antagonist. Church, did you hear that? I'm going to say something incredibly politically incorrect. This world needs more Gideons tonight than ever before in human history. men who are not afraid to call paganism paganism and falsehood falsehood. But they won't, or they get shut down. Listen, I know a man who took a stand and called it then and calls it now like it is. And he used to be on the news all the time. And they shut him down. You don't hear much from him anymore. You guys remember who Franklin Graham is? Right after 9/11, Franklin Graham was laying it out there, man. Read it. Go look at the transcripts of news spots where he was on. Then read his book, The Name. You got to get that book and read it, The Name. And he got shut down. You know why? He was too honest. He was a Gideon. Yigal Yadin writes this. Who is Baal? Classic Hebrew sources relate how the worship of Baal often included that of child sacrifice to Baal Haman, known also as Moloch. There is an increasing number of scholars who tend to see Baal Haman as the ancient chief Babylonian moon god, writes Yigal Yadin. You know what's interesting about that? These images that you're seeing, the ancient moon god dates all the way back 5,000 years ago to ancient Babylon. It was the same image. It was the chief god of the 360 deities of ancient Babylon. It is absolutely amazing to see that this crescent moon image has been in antiquity long before Islam was ever founded by Muhammad, by the way. The image was just picked up from antiquity. The ancient moon god has been worshipped for 5,000 years, going by different names throughout epochs of time. There's nothing, Solomon said again, there's nothing new under the sun. You and I may be living in the 21st century, but nothing's new. It comes down again, as I've said before, to the battle of the gods on Mount Carmel. It is either Baal or Yahweh. Everything, there's the one true God, Yahweh, and then there's all that is represented in and through Baal. Nothing's changed. No, listen, if you have to defend your God like these poor guys have got to do, then it's time for you to know the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's real. He is real. You can know him. He's revealed himself in the Word of God. He's personal. He loves you, even though you may not even know him. He loves you. He wants to give you salvation. It's free. You can know that you're going to go to heaven, not guess.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges chapter 6, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. Many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, tips, suggestions, certainly commands, on how to live, not just what to believe. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series, Life and the Bible. This week, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian at Your Job. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure and ask for Being a Christian at Your Job. It's part of the Life and the Bible series by Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.